Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Hope all is well. Hope this Tuesday is going well for you. It's bright and sunny today. It's like, I don't know, I'm in the 70s, 60s? Yeah, higher than that? You think so? I don't know. But it's a beautiful day. I can't complain. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. I actually have a jacket today. I have a jacket because I have a guest here, and I had to come looking professional, right? I didn't want her to think that, you know, I don't know how to dress for the occasion. So definitely here we are. So welcome. I thank everyone for joining us today, especially the people on Facebook Live. I do appreciate that, as well as the people with LATalkRadio.com. We have a guest today, of course, Miss Michelle Carlin. I'm sorry. I need to unmute her mic. I was just telling her before that not everyone gets their mic unmuted early into the show, right? So I must have a little bit of respect for this person if I'm letting her talk before we even get to the questions about her.
So, well, thank you, Russell.
You're welcome. So thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Okay. Absolutely. All right. Then I told her, I said, just, you know, enjoy the ride. I mean, you can laugh and you can relax, you know, because it's all about having fun. It's just, all we do here is, you know, everyone has a story, right? Everyone has a specific story or a different story to how they got to where they are today. So this is no different today. She has a unique story as well. So we can't wait to get into that information, right? So I'm anxious to get into it.
No
so
pressure.
I got it. Is that okay?
That's perfectly fine.
All right. Thank you. But I do thank you for joining us. And how we reconnected, just check this out. So I've known you, I don't know how long. I'm going to say, I think we came
we
up to
like
8 years,
this,
something
right?
like that.
Yeah,
more. No, it's been 8 years since
it's been 8 years since we last saw each other. Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
That's nuts.
That is crazy. And we were trying to figure out when was the last time I saw you, and it was 8 years ago.
Yeah, it has to have been.
That's crazy.
Doesn't
that's
seem
crazy.
Right.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You know how people, you know, you see them at, you know, shows or whatever, at least the hospitality people, we go to a lot of different shows. And we meet a lot of people and we say, oh yeah. Oh, you're in LA too. Okay. You know, we'll meet, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. 8 years later, here we are. So, you know, people don't follow up, right? They say they're going to do things, but they don't follow up.
Is that? Was that me? I hope not.
No, I'm just saying. No, I'm not saying.
When I say it.
Oh,
but so. It didn't happen until now. So.
And then she kind of.
You're holding me to the fire here, Russell.
She kind of said, it was meant to be. 8 years later, it was meant to be for us to meet 8 years later. And that's fine.
I think the intentions are always well.
Yeah. There. No, and the reason why I said that was because she found me on LinkedIn. I mean, LinkedIn is a great tool, right? So, and I always tell people, they say, well, I've been looking for you. I can't find you. I'm like, if you were looking for me, if you weren't able to find me. So you found me on LinkedIn, and this is good. So So that's great. So that's what I was trying to get. You know, I'm not trying to hold your feet to the fire or anything like
that. We're
going to
have fun here, Russell.
I can see. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So anyway, well, welcome again, Ms. Michelle Carlin with Alignment Advising. Business and
professional development consulting.
Okay. I couldn't see it.
It's all right.
I can't see it from
the
computer. Yeah, I can tell we're going to have some fun today. but yeah, so welcome. Thank you so much. Today is show 47. Who would have thought that I would have 47 shows under my belt? Okay. Who would have thought I had one? But anyway, it is what it is. So, you know, on air with Russell Fotels, right? We're a live show every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, and then it becomes a podcast later. So just wherever you listen to your favorite podcast platform, you can always find On Air with Russell Fotels. We're all about collaboration and connecting people. We're Hospitality Unplugged, right? So Hospitality Unplugged means, well, to me it means I can say whatever the heck I want to say regarding hospitality. But I don't hold people's feet to the fire, or it's not one of those kind of shows where we're trying to air out people's dirty laundry and all that kind of stuff. No, it's about, you know, sharing how you got into the industry, where you came from, where you are now, and where you hope to go. You know, if that is part of the future for you. So that's what it's about. So it's just a platform to get other hospitality professionals on the show and talk about, because there's other people. One thing I've learned doing this show and being in the industry, you never know who's watching you, mm-hmm. right? Who's going to
so
come
true.
And back at you. Exactly. Right. Right.
That
Am
is
I right?
So true.
So you never know where you're going to go, and you never know who's watching you and wants to go in that same path that you're going. And as I'm getting older, it's becoming more relevant now. I see a lot of people that ask me questions like, hey, how'd you get, why do you do this? And how'd you get to this point and things like that? So, I mean, that's why I try to do things the right way. If I can do them, if I do it at all, I'm gonna do it the right way. Mm-hmm. So, because like I said, you never know who you're influencing, right? Is that a good assessment?
That is excellent.
Oh, okay.
An excellent way to put it.
Say that's.
It's true. Everything's
the reason why
connected.
The
That's what I say. We're all connected, and it happens. Like, look at our scenario. 8 years since I've seen you.
Yes.
We're still connected, and
exactly.
Now we're going to continue that collaboration. So
yes, we are. Have we talked in 8 years though?
I think we have a few times.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just messaging.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's good to know. That's great. All right. Hospital or industry news. Industry news. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and actually I saw an article. Do you look at skift.com? S-K-I-F-T?
On occasion, yeah.
On occasion? Okay. So that's where I get my stuff. That's my hospitality rag. That's my magazine.
Good one.
So I look at the articles, and they happen to mention, it had to do with the presidential candidates coming up, right? Presidential primaries and all that stuff, right? The candidates. When they do their speaking or their debates or whatever, and I'm not political, so don't think this is I'm going politically on you guys right now. But it has to do with when they're talking about different things, the economy, whatever. I never hear about the travel industry or our industry.
No, rarely.
Why is that?
Because we need to do a better job of tooting our own horn.
Is that it? I mean,
I think so.
Okay, all right. I mean, I just thought I'd bring that up. Why don't we hear, I mean, there's like 3 or 4 sectors that I'm talking about. Aviation, hospitality, meaning hotels, tours, and ground transportation, which is a $185 billion industry, okay? And of course, I did my homework, right? Hotel workers, there's 945,000 hotel workers in the United States, okay? Average hourly wages are about $18.51 an hour, and they work on average of 30 hours a week. These are 2019 numbers. So, I mean, we have a lot to toot our horn about.
I'd say so.
Yeah, so I've always wondered, why don't they talk about that? We talk about other industries and things like that, but I think 1 in 3 people in L.A. are in the hospitality industry.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be hotel, that can be, like I said, transportation, that can be restaurants. I mean, that's all hospitality, right? So
sure.
I don't understand why we don't get more.
I think generally because we're a service-focused industry, yes, there's a product. Yes, there's ground transportation. Yes, there's hotels that someone stays in. But essentially, it's service-focused.
Okay.
And so when you don't have a product like a car that comes off of, you know, the manufacturing line,
mm-hmm.
it's a little bit less tangible maybe in people's minds.
But you don't think getting people over here from other countries and upping your economy and things like that?
I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay.
It's more service focused.
Okay.
And when you're talking about a service focused industry, I think people just, they don't know what the tangible is. They don't picture what
they
the tangible is.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I'll take that, Michelle. All right. That's something for people to listen or to watch to ponder. I mean, think about that for a second. Why don't we talk about that? And maybe it is because it's service industry. Maybe that's part of it, but I don't know. I was just thinking about that, and I happened to see that article yesterday. So, like I said, I always make sure I reference where I got the article from. So that was skift.com, and that's S-K-I-F-T.com. Okay, so check it out. How do you get a hold of Russell of Hotels? If just in case you want to be like Michelle, you haven't talked to me in 8 years, you're like, hey, let me reach out to this dude. But I'm gonna give you my information, right? You don't have to go through LinkedIn unless you want to. My email address is russell@russellofhotels.com. Twitter is @russellofhotels. IG Russell of Hotels. LinkedIn Russell L. Edmond. Facebook, I have two pages: Russell L. Edmond. Excuse me, I have to enunciate my words better, according to my mom. Russell L. Edmond and Russell of Hotels. Those are my two Facebook pages. And then I have a website, which is russellofhotels.com. And like I mentioned a little while ago, the show is on iTunes and Google Play after this show is over. So you can find us, on, like I said, iTunes, Apple, Google Play, and any other podcast that you're interested in watching. I'm going to skip that today. Who listens? Who are feeder cities? Feeder cities: LA, Orange County, Chicago, San Francisco, and New York. Can you believe that? People in New York listen? But we go as far as the Bahamas, Jamaica, the UK, the Philippines, Canada. Specifically, I want to say Vancouver. I know I have some people in Vancouver that listen as well. So there it is.
That's
right?
Awesome.
Can you believe
you're
that?
You're a global organization.
You know what? We're trying, right? We're trying. And having people like you on the show is going to help me, right?
Sure. I'll take it.
I'm going to skip part of this because I told Michelle, I said, you know, I'm going to skip part of my format because we want to get into the questions. We're getting to the meat of this interview, okay? Because there's some stuff we need to find out. But who's on blast? And what this means, you know, when I say you're on blast, that means these are people that I want on the show. People, I respect what they do. And that's what that's all it is, right? So Michelle actually was on. She's still on the list. I have to take her off the list. But she was on blast. She was on blast for maybe a week. And then she said she's going to do the show. See, that's how it's supposed to work. When you find out you're on blast, you're supposed to just say, hey, I want to be on the show. Let's make it happen, right? But these other people, and I'm going to name these names, they haven't communicated with me. Or if they did communicate, now when I reach out to them, they're not responding. You know, what is that all about? And these are salespeople.
I don't have an answer for you.
Okay, number one, Brian Churchill, VP LA Tourism. You're on blast. Carol Motley, Director of Convention Sales with Destination DC. You're on blast. Now, Carol's in Amsterdam or Europe. Yeah, she's in Amsterdam. So I understand why you haven't. I understand the last week why you haven't responded. But the weeks before that, I got issues with. Okay. So, Carol, you know you're on blast. Let's make it happen. Luis Torres with Universal Studios. Stephanie Corsina with Hong Kong Tourism. Michelle's sitting right here. So she's off the list, right? So I have to replace her with someone else. So
I'll
lucky
help you replace someone.
Exactly. You got somebody in mind?
I do.
Who's that?
I don't want to put him on blast.
Oh, then you can't say that then.
I do.
Okay, you want to tell me later?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now we're having secrets on air with Russell
no
Hotel. Okay. Anyway. Okay. All right. Well, she's gonna give me somebody to put on blast. Okay, before I get into this interview, I have to recognize, remember, this is Black History Month, right? And I, we get a whole month, right, to talk about it. But
to just just be every day.
Well, thank you, Michelle. It should be, right? But, you know, but it's not. Okay. So Black History Month, it ends in, well, the last day of February it ends. But anyway, LaFay Baker is the person I want to recognize today. Now, who is LaFay Baker? Somebody's going to say, who the heck is that? Well, LaFay Baker is the first Black stunt woman in Hollywood. Can you believe that?
Cool.
And she's still doing stunts. She's not that old.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and I know her. Funny story. I met her at my last hotel. She does this thing called, it's a, what's the organization called? The organization is called Action Icon, which is, it's like a annual award ceremony for the best stunts, the best women stunts for the year. So she does that. So it's called Action Icon. It's actually coming up in March. So it's Sunday, March 22nd. So if you're interested, go to actionicon.com and find that information. But she's the first African-American stunt woman and stunt coordinator here in Hollywood. Right. So her organization is called Diamonds in the Raw. And I know that organization because my niece had gone through that program several years ago. So LaFay Baker, we're honoring you today. So if you happen to listen to the show, there you go. You don't have to call me or anything like that. You don't have to pay me. I'm just, you know, I'm just mentioning you. OK, because I do respect what you do. And I didn't know. And she actually held the world hula hoop record for a while as a teenager. Yeah. When back, well, she's not a teenager
that's
now,
impressive.
Obviously, but yeah, so that's one of the things. So if you were to Google LaFay Baker, and that's LaFaye Baker, BAKER, you'll see that she is this, or held a world record for hula hooping or something like that. So she's like in the Guinness, she was in the Guinness World Book of Records. I'm not sure if her record has been broken at this point, but there you go. So anyway, without further ado, we're going to introduce today's guest. I mean, I kind of introduced her already, but she has so many achievements that I didn't even know about. She's not only just the founder and president of Alignment Advising, but she is former executive director of sales with Visit Santa Barbara, former president of Central Coast Tourism Council.
Correct.
She was awarded, you know how they have these 40 people that are under 40 that are like the up and coming people. She's one of those.
All right.
Back in 2011, you didn't think I knew, right? You didn't think I did my homework. See, I did.
I knew you did.
Yeah, okay, you're going to talk about that. And now she's a creative, meaning she's an entrepreneur. She's someone that took that plunge, you know, like so many of us do without a safety net. You know, you just jump out and say, hey, it's time to make this happen. So without further ado, we want to welcome to the show On Air with Russell of Hotels, Miss Michelle Carlin.
Thank you, Russell. It's just a pleasure to be here. I'm absolutely thrilled. I know we're going to have a great time.
We already started having a good time. What do you mean? Going to.
We joke a lot.
Yes, yes. But no, thank you. I do appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
So, okay. We talked briefly before the interview started or before the show started. But give me a story. I went to Cal Poly.
Cal Poly Broncos.
That's right. So give me, you don't have to give me years. We don't want to know when you started. I want to know what you did. No, I don't need to know that because then you're going to be starting to ask me when I started. And that's no one's business. Okay.
All right. So got it. Won't be asking how old you are.
So, okay. Did you go through I think I asked you this earlier, but of course people want to hear. You went to Cal Poly. You're from Pasadena.
And you Born and raised in Pasadena. Went to the Rose Parade every year.
Really?
People always ask me.
Oh,
have
really?
You been to the Rose Parade? How could you not go to the Rose Parade when you're from Pasadena?
There you go.
Yeah. So I had applied to a number of different colleges after high school and landed on Cal Poly Pomona because it was close to home.
Mm-hmm.
And I had wanted to get into hospitality. I just always had this in my head. I pictured myself walking through hotels. I couldn't tell you why. I just know that that was in my mind somehow.
Okay.
So I thought, no, this hospitality, let's check this school out at Cal Poly. And I started in their program and I started meeting with a counselor and they suggested are you sure you want to be in hospitality? And I don't think that was a, you know, anything bad. It was more of, are you sure you don't want to open up your options when you get out of college in case you change your mind? So they said, why don't you get into, you know, general business administration and look at marketing? And that way, if you want to go and work for a pharmaceutical company, your background's a little bit more well-versed in that. So I did that. Had a few classes. I remember taking a food safety class there at the School of Hotel Restaurant Management. I passed.
Oh, good. Oh, wow. That was going to be my next question.
Right. I passed. I'm here. I passed. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I decided to just open up my skill set and what I was doing.
So did you think, okay, so when you open up your skill set and went the, I guess, kind of the marketing angle.
Marketing route, mm-hmm.
Did you still think you'd be working in a hotel? Or working in hospitality?
Well, at the same time that I was going to college, my mom, actually, I don't know, Mom, if you're listening to the show, but hi.
Hi, Mom.
She used to work for a travel agency. So our family has always traveled. Growing up as a kid, we went to Europe. We went to all these different places, which I appreciate now having had that experience. And she worked for a travel agency at one point. And so when I was going to college or about to go to college, she said, you need to get a job. So I actually was a server at Ruby's Diner in Pasadena.
All right.
So I started in hospitality then and there. And then she said, maybe you want to find an office job. Why don't you call my old boss at the travel agency? So this was all around the time that I was going to school. And her old boss said, sure, come on, help out. Help confirm itineraries, call people who are going on cruises, help us organize the office. We'll teach you about travel. And that's really how I got in this business, is it kind of was just fell into my lap, or maybe handed to me in some way, shape, or form. And so I worked there, I want to say a couple summers.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, the owner, my boss of the travel agency, said, I think I found a job for you. And I was taken back, and I thought, well, you don't like me working here? Why would you want to find me a job? And he was on the Rotary Club board in Pasadena, and he knew the executive director of the Pasadena Convention and Visitors Bureau at the time. And they had a part-time opening for business development, you know, making prospecting calls. Now, here I am, like, I think I was maybe 18, 19, and I had no, what is a prospecting call, Russell? I don't know. I'm 19 years old. But he said, no, it's a compliment. I think you're so good with people and you're so good with your interactions that you need to advance yourself. You need to grow. So I went and I interviewed for this position at Pasadena CVB, and that's kind of how it all started. I got the job. Eventually, I moved into more of a marketing position with a different company that in the 2000s, I ended up working for the San Diego North Convention and Visitors Bureau. And I was out of college at this time. And here I thought, oh, I'm going to make all this money, right? You get out of school, the professors tell you, oh, you're going to make $60,000, you know. No.
You didn't make 60?
Did I?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wow. What the heck's going on?
So long story short, I worked my way up. So there at San Diego North, I had three different positions. I started out as a sales assistant because that's where they had an opening. And then I progressed really well, and my boss at the time was kind enough to adjust my position to fit my talent, which I still appreciate to this day. Because there's nothing like having someone in a position where they're growing and growing, and then you tell them, oh, sorry, this is all we have for you, and this is your job. Stay in this box, right? So she adjusted my position to more of a coordinator, and I got to interact with meeting planner clients that were coming to town, and I was supposed to upsell them on, hey, do you need an offsite venue for your event? Do you need transportation? Do you need this? Do you need that? And from there, I was then promoted to national sales manager. And so that kind of was the wave that I rode into where I'm at now. Tell me if I'm talking too much.
No, I'll stop you when you're talking too much. That's my job. You just keep talking.
I'll keep talking.
But no, that's interesting. I didn't know that you worked for San Diego North. Did I know that? No, I didn't know that.
No, because it wasn't on my LinkedIn.
Okay. Now, if I throw a name out there, can I say that? Can I throw a name out there? Mm-hmm. Maybe Stephanie. We worked for the company back in the day in
the
hotels.
You worked with Stephanie?
Yes, I did.
Stephanie was my boss.
Really?
She's the one that decided to change my sales assistant position into a coordinator role.
Wow. We worked together
Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie. Alberto.
I think she's in Denver. I just saw on LinkedIn she's working in Denver at Marriott or something.
I did not know that. It's been a long time. We used to work together with Sunstone Hotels.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Yeah. So, she's a good, I love Stephanie Alberto. So, okay. So that's good to know. I'm glad it was somebody that I like.
We're all connected.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been kind of awkward if it would have been like somebody like, I don't think I should mention that name. but that's great. This is great. Okay. So from there, that was your first job in sales. But then you went to Irvine. I'm not sure where that fits in there.
Prior to that, see, there's so much.
Well, you need to tell me. And remember, we only got 30 minutes, okay?
I'm going quick.
It's not a two-hour show here, Michelle.
Come on
okay?
now.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm joking.
No, I'll make it brief. So I actually then took a position with Visit Newport Beach.
Okay.
And I handled corporate and association accounts in various parts of the country. So I was there for about 4 years, and mm-hmm. then I knew that I wanted to get into leadership because I like to grow business. I like to grow individuals. I like to mentor people. And so I found this opportunity that Irvine was essentially building a CVB or a DMO.
What does that mean? Can you explain those two things?
I can.
Okay.
So they're the same thing. A CVB is a Convention and Visitors Bureau, and every city really has a Convention and Visitors Bureau. They often are a part of the chamber. They could be their own entity, like LA Tourism. And a DMO is a destination marketing organization. Those two terms are interchangeable. And yes, we've confused our clients throughout the years, but everyone's onto the DMO thing now.
Okay.
So
cool.
One and the same. The role of the DMO is to promote the hotels and the attractions and the restaurants and anything that there is to do in an area. Their job is to promote it through marketing.
Okay, so you the position you held with them was what again?
Director of sales at Destination Irvine.
Okay, you're there for 4 years.
I was there for about 4 years, and I worked with our director of marketing. We were part of the chamber, but we had a separate budget.
Okay.
And we were basically building this DMO structure from the ground up. So we're talking no website, no database, no communications tools, no collateral. So we built everything from scratch from the ground up.
Wow. See, I did not know that. See, that's good. Yeah. That's good to know. So what's the difference between taking one that's already been established and one that you had to build yourself?
A big difference, which is why I've started my company, and we'll get to that. The biggest difference is that when you go into any organization, it doesn't have to be a DMO, if you don't have your business infrastructure set up, you're running the risk of not being successful, right? Not because you're not an intelligent person or that you've had prior experience, but when you have proper systems in place, then you have a much higher rate or potential to be successful. And going in as a salesperson into a traditional sales role, whether at a hotel or at a DMO, you're kind of just put into that role. That role already exists. When you go into an organization and you have to make that for yourself, well, you better understand how business works, right? Mm-hmm. Not just about sales. It's about accounting, it's about membership, it's about all different types of things that involve managing a business.
See, I knew that you would be a unique story here because I mean, I've had people on here that work with CVBs, but you have more insight. I'm gonna say more insight, but you have different insight because you've built one from the ground up. Mm-hmm. So you kind of see maybe some of the pitfalls that other people are making. I'm sure you can walk into a DMO and see exactly, you know, where the deficiencies are and how to correct them, because you build one from the ground up, which a lot of people have not done that. So you bring a unique set of skills that not everyone has. I mean, this is great. No, this is great. I didn't know that. No, thank you. No,
that's
thank
why
me.
We're here, to find new stuff out.
Okay, so we're in Irvine now. Then from Irvine. We went to, now are we in Santa Barbara now?
Not yet.
Oh my goodness, where are we now?
We went to Monterey.
Did I know that?
Yes, you knew that.
Okay, I knew. Okay,
just,
sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I did.
It's all right.
I have to be excited for the people. But anyway, go ahead.
So I went to the Monterey County Convention and Visitors Bureau as a regional sales executive. So I had my own home-based office.
That's what I was going to ask. Okay. So you're home-based. So they actually allow that to happen? You're working for a DMO in another city and you're home-based?
There's a number of positions out there, a number of cities that do that.
Really?
Yes. The idea is that you can be face-to-face with your clients, okay. Right? So if my client's in San Diego and I live in San Diego, I can simply drive to their office, talk to them. What are their meeting needs? What hotels do they want to consider? So it just makes doing business a little bit more easy.
Okay. And your position there was what again?
Regional sales executive.
Regional sales executive.
I also helped out in an interim role and managed the sales team there for a while.
Okay.
At the time, I was interested in taking the position, but I wasn't able to move up there. So I remained remote, but managing the team until we found a new vice president of sales.
Okay. Very good. So from there...
Then I was able to move and things had changed, and so this position came up to be the director of sales at Visit Santa Barbara.
Wow, very good.
And that was just over 4 years ago.
Okay, I do remember that move, and I was so excited. In fact, I think I saw you the last... Now that I
did. No, is it not 8 years?
No. It was at Site in the desert, like La Quinta. Was it La Quinta?
Yeah.
Weren't you there?
Yes.
Okay, that's the last time I saw you.
Okay.
That's the last time I saw you.
Take back the 8 years.
That was at least 4 years ago, okay. Though, right? Yeah. So yeah. That was like, and in fact, you had just taken that role.
Yep.
And I was so excited about that for you. So,
thank you.
So congratulations again on that. And then from there, you're embarking on being a creative. A creative to me is an entrepreneur, someone who takes all the risks, someone that has to be as creative as they can be, because you're charting your own path, right? So how's that been? How long has it been? How long has it been, and how are things going? We'll get into some specific questions, but, you know, give
right.
me some general stuff.
I am charting my own course.
Yes.
And it's been just about a year.
Okay.
I did formalize my business at the end of last year, but prior to that, I had started working with a number of clients doing business consulting and professional development coaching, which is then where I came up with the idea to formalize and name my business Alignment Advising. And my experience has been in tourism, hospitality, like we're talking about. But what I realized through the different positions that I've had and the different volunteer organizations that I've been with, like the Central Coast Tourism Council, is that I have the knowledge and also the experience of coming into an organization, like you're saying, and understanding where are the choke points. What's preventing you from reaching your goal? Or maybe you don't have a goal because you're not sure how do I know what a successful goal is, right? And so I decided I want to do this for myself. I want to build my own organization for myself because I'm a creative and I like to build things. But I want to be able to pass this information and this knowledge on to others, help, hence kind of the two aspects of what I do, which is offering services to organizations as well as to individuals. And truly, actually, those things align together because you think of a business professional, they're in a business organization, mm-hmm. right? So that's how I started on this venture, and I'm charting it, you know, as I go. I've got all kinds of ideas, like called you out of the blue, and, you know, just really brainstorming on ways that I can provide long-term planning, strategic planning, and support process improvement, organizational infrastructure development to companies, you know, in ways such as marketing support, sales support, so that they can, what I call, get to their best success.
Very good. I like that. So has it been easy?
It's been fun.
Has it been easier than what? Okay, let's just cut it right
Nothing's
now.
Nothing's easy, Russell.
Okay.
Let me tell you.
All right. Okay. Nothing's easy. I'm glad you said that because I was about to say something else, but I'm glad you said nothing's easy. But I guess what I'm trying to say or trying to ask is when you embarked on this solo journey, did you think there are other people going to come along with you?
No.
You said.
I knew I'm in this boat, you know, by myself. Honestly, this is my thing to own.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And there may be other boats next to me, mm-hmm. right? People that I can partner with,
yes.
like yourself. And mm-hmm. I completely embrace that.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, I'm the one in the boat. I need to make it float.
There you go. I like that. See, that's you answered that exactly how I wanted you to answer it.
Oh, good.
Didn't you hear that, people?
That
oh, my God.
This was good.
This is good. So, okay. So you concentrate. Okay. It's not just. Let me just make this clear.
Sure.
It's not just hospitality businesses that you're working with, correct?
Correct.
Very good. Okay. You concentrate a lot on the sales and marketing aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Can you expound a little bit on what would you do? I mean,
sure.
You can create your own scenario.
Sure. Okay. So you're a small hotel. Mm-hmm. You have a small sales team. You know what? You're plateauing in your sales. And you're trying to figure out, you know, how do we get that competitive edge, right? So you hire someone like myself mm-hmm. to come in and say, let's look at your process. Let's look at your sales process. Are there things that we can tweak or recalibrate to make it run a little bit smoother? And it could be something like, what's the client experience when we're working with them from the group side, right? Someone wants to come and have a conference. Well, are we doing our site inspections well?
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing them over the top? Because that's what I would recommend that they do. And oftentimes we get so busy in our day-to-day life that we go on autopilot, right? We're like, okay, we have another site. We have another phone call with a client. I'm trying to execute this contract. And I take a step back with you and I guide you through a process of, is this working for you?
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes, because we're doing it, we're thinking it's working. When in reality, it might be able to be tweaked and it can work even better.
Mm.
And so my goal is always to get you into a better space.
Okay. I like that. Funny you should mention site inspections because a couple of weeks ago, I'm not sure if you heard that one, the show that I did. It had to do with site inspections and basically tailoring the site inspections to the client and not just having a boilerplate or cookie cutter kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you heard that one?
I did.
What'd you think about that?
I completely agree with it.
You do?
I do.
Okay. All right. Just asking. you want to expound on that?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? We're all individual,
mm-hmm.
whether we work for an organization or we work for ourselves. And, you know, our clients are the same way, right? Our employees are the same way. Because part of what I do with my business is I help companies improve the employee experience and the client experience. And we all want to feel special. And that's not like, oh, I'm so special and, you know, I need all this attention. No, we all have unique attributes and talents that we offer people. So let's showcase those. So if you have a creative sales manager that's like, hey, you know, let's get the whole team involved with welcoming this meeting planner to the hotel. And let's find out their favorite, I don't know, handbag type. They like a Coach handbag. Hey, if you have a budget and you want to buy your client something and give it as a gift, go for it. You know, it's just about customizing experiences and really understanding your clients. And the only way to do that is to really understand your employees first. So everything is interconnected.
That's a good one. That just, now you're getting me upset now because.
Oh, don't be upset.
And I have to share. I have to share this story with you real quick. I'm sorry,
okay.
I'm getting off topic for a little bit, but it has to do with what you're saying, right? So I'm a salesperson at this mega hotel downtown LA. Okay, I'm a national salesperson, and I'm not afraid to say the name of the company that was coming in. the name of the company, I won't mention the hotel, but the name of the company was Vans. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the shoe, right? Yeah. Okay. So, and I know Vans. I mean, I can, this is before the days of Google and all this stuff. Okay. Maybe it was a couple of years before Google. Okay. So, but I was able to, I mean, I knew Vans, I knew what they stood for. So we have this, I'm not sure if he was the I think he was the COO of the company coming in because they were citing our hotel for a program for their national sales convention. And it was between our hotel and the Renaissance in Hollywood, which is now the Lowe's Hollywood. Okay. So that tells you how long ago this may have been. Okay. So I went in and I knew the guy was coming in and I know what they're about, right? I know I need to do something different out of the box, right? I need to come in instead of wearing my, suited and booted, which I, that's how we were required to do. I should have went out and bought some Vans gear and all this kind of stuff, right? I went and asked my director of sales, okay? I'm not going to mention who the director of sales was, but I went and asked him. I said, hey, I have this huge site inspection tomorrow. Is it okay if I, you know, buy some things and dress down tomorrow? Basically, I wanted his permission to do this. He said, why would you do that? I said, because this is a unique piece of business. I'm going against the Lowe's. I know the Lowe's is going to do this. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, not the Lowe's, the Renaissance at that time. I know they're going to do this. I know the guy that I'm up against. I know he's a little younger than me, but I need to do some of these things, right? And he looked at me like I had two heads. And he's like, no, don't do it. And I mean, just hearing you say that, I mean, it's all about the experience, right? The personalization of that experience, right? You can't do everything. It's not cookie cutter. It's not one size fits all. It's being unique to that particular client. Right. It's knowing your client, right? And I knew the client, but instead of asking for forgiveness, I asked for permission. And I should have just did it. Uh-huh. And I would have got it. And guess what? I lost it. And I called the guy and said, hey, you know, we're in the running. What happened? He said, you guys are too stuffy. That's exactly what he told me.
That's exactly what he told me.
And guess what? The guy was like 50 years old and he came in with board shorts and was dressed like he was 19.
Yep.
That's exactly how he came in.
Yep.
And I would have been there. I wasn't 50 at that time. I was, you know, well, it doesn't matter how old I was. But the story here is, you're right on, and I appreciate what you said. And I had to share that story because
you
ticked me off for bringing it up.
Oh,
so,
sorry.
But anyway, okay, so that's the sales and marketing part. Now, you also mentioned that you work at, as far as operations. You'll do things on the operations side.
So more optimizing processes or making sure certain systems are in place. You know, like, for instance, when I came into Irvine, we had no CRM database.
Okay.
How are we going to keep track of our clients? Mm-hmm. So it's making sure that systems are in place and processes are in place, because what happens is when you don't have those things set up, right, you very quickly lose sight of what your goal is because you're busy doing your day-to-day stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, ooh, I forgot to log all this information somewhere. Mm. And now it's stuck in my head. And, oh, guess what? I just accepted a new job. They're going to have to hire someone new for this position. And then that organization lost that brain trust, right? So it's about helping organizations coming up with plans to be able to retain that knowledge. I would just describe it as maybe transitionary planning or succession planning.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes companies, they hit a crutch when there's so much, you know, coming and going of employees and staff. And it's just the nature of particularly the tourism and hospitality space.
Meaning we move around a lot?
We
is that what you mean?
We move around a lot.
Really?
We move around a lot.
Oh, my goodness. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? Do you penalize people for moving around a lot?
No, I don't, because I've moved around a lot.
See, and that is so prevalent in this industry, right? But people outside the industry don't understand that. And they're like, you've had like, you know, three jobs in a year.
Well,
what is this? Can you explain this?
That's a lot. I mean,
yeah,
you certainly don't want to be a job jumper.
Exactly.
You know, switching over to kind of the professional development side of my business is working with career professionals to say, you know what, what's going to maximize your reputation and how you present yourself in the industry. You actually don't want to be jumping jobs three times a year.
That was a joke.
We all know that.
It was a joke.
We all know that. But
yeah, no.
I think what happens in the tourism and hospitality space is that people want to make more money, or they want to, again, grow, which is what my business is about, is growing. They want to grow into a larger position that fits their talents, right? And sometimes the only way to do that is to move to another business. So I would say that that's why there's a lot of coming and goings and moving around to different places.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I learned early on in my career that the more I moved around, the more money I would make, because based on the, you know, the cost of living increase that you get, that whatever that 3% or less, the 3%, I figured out, well, if I moved around, not necessarily every year, but if I moved around, I would get, you know, 8 to 10% increase. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just simple economics for me.
Right.
And I just said, well, let's try it. And then along the way, you started getting promotions and things like that as well. So, so it wasn't about all about the money, but it was about the next position I was going to take. So yeah, I'm at the, I know 14 different hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but that was my plan. That was my strategy. And it kind of worked, but you know, it doesn't work for everybody,
right?
But it does work for some people, i.e. me. So it's not just the sales and marketing for an organization, operations for an organization, but you also do individual consulting as well, right?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. So if someone, and I'll use this as an example, if someone is in a career transition, maybe they, for whatever reason, are no longer in the position that they've had most recently and they're looking for a new job, right? They think their resume looks great. Maybe it does. But I sit down and work with them to say, hey, are you presenting yourself in your best light, which is, you know, reaching your potential? And let's look at how this is set up. What does your LinkedIn profile look like? How are you in your interview skill set? You know, I provide coaching tips with that. And oftentimes I find that people come to me and they're like not sure what they need, or they just need some clarity and direction. And so I just work with them through a discovery process to help them discover that in themselves, of gaining more confidence, gaining more clarity, and then a direction that they want to go. And not that I'm the be all end all, but it just helps to have someone that's doing that with you, right?
That's
it makes
true.
It a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. And it gives you the ability in the future to do that for yourself.
I like that. Very good. This has been good.
Good.
How do you stay relevant?
Yeah. Wow. So how I stay relevant is by doing things out of the box. And I encourage that people do things out of the box, right? So we get in our comfort zones, don't we, Russell?
Yes, we do.
So you put a jacket on to see me today, right?
Yep.
Now, you don't do that always, do you?
Nope.
All right. So my point is, we get into a zone, right? And I'm putting you on the spot.
That's fine.
We get into a zone, and that's when we miss our opportunity, right? Because what if someone walked in that door and you're like, ooh, I actually wish that I would have had a jacket on today. And I'm putting you on the spot real bad here, and I know you're letting me do it. I'm using that as a simple example to say, challenge yourself. Challenge yourself. And that's what I try to do. I try to try new things. I called you and said, hey, how do I get to be a guest, right? That's way out of my comfort zone. Like, why is she doing that? Like, what's that about?
Yeah, I did think that.
It's because I need to improve. I need to grow. And every day is an opportunity to do that. So that answers you.
Wow. No, that did. Wow, I didn't expect that angle, that twist and turn.
I got you.
But yeah, you got me on that. Yeah, you're grilling me on my own show.
I'm grilling you on your show.
That's not how it's supposed to happen.
Come now.
No, that was
all
good. That was
all
good. I like that.
No,
I like
it's the
that
easiest example that
we
already touched on.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand. And yeah, that's Yeah, I did put the jacket on for you. Why don't I wear the jacket all the time? Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because you never know who you're going to come across. You never know the new opportunity.
On the flip side, if you're someone, you know, because I've had people say this to me before. Well, what if I'm someone, I don't feel comfortable in a suit or a jacket. I like to be, well, that's good. Well, then, you know, that's why it's not specific to you. I used it as an example for the group. Gotcha. But, everyone's different. Oh. We all have to try different things.
I got you. Okay. So we're winding down here. We're on air. We're on air with Russell Hotels. We're here with Michelle Carlin, alignment advising business and
professional
development consulting. Yeah, I got it. I can read. Thank you. So we've been chopping it up. We've been talking about a lot of different things. I mean, things that how she got started, where she is now, how to stay relevant. I mean, just giving examples and things like that. And how to set yourself apart on site inspections. I mean, be unique. Be, you know, the things that your property or your destination is known for. I mean, what are those twists and turns that you can throw in for the client? I mean, every client is different. Every destination is different. So let's just make sure we, you know, stay true to who we are and not try to be someone else, right?
That's right.
So I have one more thing to ask you.
Okay.
Okay. This is something I got from your somewhere. A block isn't always a block.
Oh, yeah.
It creates opportunities.
Yes.
Explain where that came from.
Love that.
Go ahead.
I'm so glad you asked that. So when I was president of Central Coast Tourism Council, I was interviewed by Christopher Elliott, who writes for USA Today. He actually has kind of a travel advocacy column. And he was interviewing me because we had in the Central Coast in Big Sur a huge landslide or mudslide, and it blocked tourism to Big Sur, right? And so he's asking me, well, how did your organization overcome this? And you know, here's this big roadblock. And it just came to me, because this is how I live my life. I've had many roadblocks in my life. And I realized that just because there's a block moving forward to somewhere you want to be doesn't mean you can't get to where you want to be. It just means you have to go at it from a different way, right? It shouldn't stop you. It actually allows the opportunity and the space for you to take a step back and go, okay, is this vision, this goal still what I want? And if it is, and this thing is in front of me, what am I going to do to get over there, right? You need to be resourceful. You need to be patient. And you need to be continuously steadfast in incremental steps towards reaching that goal. And so that is what that quote is about.
Wow. That's deep. I saw that. I'm like, that is interesting. This, yeah, I mean, a roadblock, you know, created this thought. I mean, you know, how do you get around it? Just because it's a roadblock does not mean you have to, don't let anything stand in your way for the most part.
Right.
Figure it out. How to get around it.
Figure it out.
Wow. Very good. Well, you've been a great guest.
Thank you so much.
I do appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I appreciate your knowledge and I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate you being a creative, because God knows we need more creatives out here. That we can work with, collaborate with, and connect with. So I do appreciate that. And I hopefully we don't go another 4 to 8 years without communicating.
No.
Okay.
And I just want to thank you, Russell. I'm really just very grateful that you're a creative and that you've gone down this path, because it allows the opportunity, like you said, for collaboration. And I think that ultimately, that's what's so important in life, whatever it is that you're doing, is to collaborate and to understand that people need to work together.
I like that. That reminds me of a proverb. If you want to go far, wait. If you want to go fast,
go
alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Yes.
And with that, that's the end of the show. Thank you so much for joining On Air with Russell Hotels, # Hospitality Unplugged. We hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much again, Miss Michelle Carlin, for being on the show. Maybe we can have you back again someday.
I would love that.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's do it.
All
right, so you guys take care. We'll see you next Tuesday. And thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.